growing up, I guess it was pretty easy to rate the holidays. Favorite holidays, obviously, Christmas. You got toys, you got candy, you got all the big ones there. That's the number one. Number two holiday was always 4th of July. You get barbecued and you got fireworks. What else could a little boy want? Number three was Halloween, because you got more candy, you got lots and lots of candy. You got to dress up like Superman. Number four, I guess, was New Year's, because if it was a good New Year's Eve, you got to stay up late. That was very nice. And you sometimes got to shoot fireworks again, if you were lucky. Then it kind of gets murky. You have Easter. Easter is okay. You get candy for Easter. You have to go to church, but you can get candy before church. So that's pretty nice. Memorial Day is good. The swimming pool opened up on Memorial Day. Labor Day was good because football was back by Labor Day. And somewhere way down at the bottom was Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, completely worthless. I remember this vividly. Our family got together with our aunts, uncles, and cousins four times a year. Mother's Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas Eve. And Thanksgiving always seemed to be the one that was the most boring, because at the center of Thanksgiving, you ate food. And we ate food every day. So that wasn't special. And we ate turkey. And honestly, turkey is not the highest on the list of things that children at least want to eat. And it just kind of seemed like it was a weekend we didn't know what to do with. And I think culturally we don't really know what to do with it either. It's kind of a mini vacation, which is a little bit nice. We basically celebrate gluttony, eating a lot. We watch a lot of football. And sometimes it turns into a celebration of our accomplishments. If we do anything, it's kind of like, hey, let's look back at how great of a year it was. And by how great of a year, it means look at all the things I did. And it kind of becomes, I don't know, a little bit of a chest beat. And really, it just kind of becomes the beginning of Christmas avarice. Black Friday, let's go shopping. It's the kind of the day that we rest before just the absolute explosion of activity and busyness that is the Christmas season. And somehow in all of that, largely due to a mentor of mine named Tim Starnes, Thanksgiving snuck in there and slowly worked its way up the positions till it became my favorite holiday. I love Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving for all the reasons that I used to hate it. I love Thanksgiving because it's a time when we stop. I love Thanksgiving because it's a time when we have no plans. I used to take the entire week off when my boys were little, and people would ask me what my plans were for Thanksgiving, and my answer was always, I plan to lay on the floor, watch movies, and let my kids crawl all over me. They're too big for that now. That would hurt. But it's still that kind of week when your expectations are low. It's a week to feel thankful. It's a week to feel blessed. It's a week to feel loved. And I always want to preach on it. I want to preach on it on this Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, after you've kind of already experienced it, because you've already had that pause. You've already had that rest. And hopefully, you are still in that feeling of being blessed, being loved, and feeling joyful. And what I want you to see today is we talk about Thanksgiving and the importance of Thanksgiving and even the command of Thanksgiving. Well, what I want you to see is that Thanksgiving resets us. Thanksgiving is the huge reset button that we push every year that resets us to being what God created us to be. He created us to be His precious, beloved children. And Thanksgiving gives us an opportunity to pause and just be that. The word that I've picked out, the psalm I picked out for Thanksgiving is Psalm 107. So let's read that together. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of His Most High. So He bowed down their hearts with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of men. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord from their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. All men are like grass, and all of our glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but not God's Word. God's Word stands forever. Amen. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is this time when we stop, and when we are reset, when we hit the reset button, and are restored to being God's precious, beloved children, and feeling that, I want to kind of break that down for us in three parts. First, I want to talk about why Thanksgiving is so hard. Why is it something you have to be made to do? Why does God have to command it? Why do parents have to tell children to fill out thank you notes and stop them before they go off and play, before they make them say thank you before they go off and play with their toys? And then, secondly, I want to talk about why it's important. And then, thirdly, how do you do it? How do we do Thanksgiving? But first, let's talk about why Thanksgiving is so hard. Why is it unpopular? Why do you? You know, I don't know if you remember. I remember opening those gifts on Christmas Eve, especially. That's when the whole family would come together. We would exchange gifts, and you'd get this toy, and you wanted to go play with it so badly, and your mom would say, "Now say thank you." Like, do I have to go to your grandmother and say thank you? Thank you. And then run off and play, right? What is it about Thanksgiving that makes it so hard? I think there's several things. One of them is that it's just a pause. Thanksgiving stops the pause button. In the Old Testament, when God is giving the rules for the sacrifice of Thanksgiving, He makes them hit the pause button. He says, once a year, I want you to stop. The busiest time of year, right after the harvest, when there are things to do, stop. Go to Jerusalem. Make a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Spend a week doing it. It's that time after opening the present and before using it when you stop and you thank the person. We don't like to stop. Stopping is inefficient. We have things we need to do, right? It's just funny in my lifetime to watch Black Friday, Christmas shopping season, creeped into Thanksgiving. You know, it used to be Friday morning, and then it was Thursday, Thanksgiving at midnight, and then it would, you know, Black Friday shopping starts at 6 o'clock on Thursday, and now Black Friday shopping starts on Monday, 4 days before Thanksgiving. We're just getting off the pause button altogether. We don't like stopping. It's inefficient. Stopping makes us think. Stopping makes us have to feel our feelings and remember what the year was like. But what God wants us to see is that in those pauses, when you slow down and eat your food, when you taste its goodness, when you stop to look at your family and friends around you, when you stop to ask yourself, how did I get this house? How did I get this wife? How did I get this food? How did I get this family? When you stop, there's joy in that. There's real deep, profound joy in Thanksgiving. But we don't like to stop. Secondly, we don't like to feel vulnerable. There's something incredibly vulnerable about going to someone and saying thank you. You're acknowledging, I had a need and you met my need. You came to me in a time of weakness. I love this psalm because it over and over again is listing times of weakness when we sat in darkness. That was the description of how I spent a large part of 2020 sitting in darkness, feeling affliction, feeling distress. And God brings us out of the darkness. And when He brings us out, it's very tempting to ignore that. And He says, no, say thank you for it. Thanksgiving is vulnerable. It admits, I was in need of redemption. I was in need of help. And you helped me. We don't like to expose ourselves. We don't like to admit our vulnerability. We don't like Thanksgiving. Very closely related to that vulnerability is this truth that when we thank somebody else, we're giving away the credit. And we don't want to give away credit. When we thank someone, we're saying, you did this for me. And that's not our favorite sentence. Our favorite sentence is, I did this. I built this. This is mine. Look what I did all by myself. I remember when one of my sons, he finally learned how to ride his bicycle and he started crowing at the top of his lungs, I'm doing it all by myself. And I just remember thinking, all by yourself? I've been pushing you up and down this road for 2 hours. This is the hardest I've ever worked on anything. All by yourself? Who bought you that bicycle? Who took those training wheels off? But, you know, we're all that little boy, aren't we? We all want to say, I did it. Probably the proudest I've ever been of anything was graduating college, mainly because I didn't think I was going to make it. And I remember that feeling of, I did this. I did it all by myself. And then... just realizing the selfishness of that comment. All by yourself? I thought you've had school teachers ever since you were 4 years old. Teaching you to read. Teaching you to write. Teaching you math. And those school teachers, you didn't pay them. You didn't find them. You didn't train them. It took an entire state of people paying taxes to build these schools so that you could learn, so that you could graduate, so that you could crow that you did it all by yourself. That's us, isn't it? We don't like Thanksgiving. We don't like to lose that credit. We have this sinful ability to feel entitled to whatever we have. We don't like Thanksgiving because Thanksgiving reminds us that it's not ours, that someone else has given us something. And we have this ability, this incredible ability, to almost immediately stop feeling thankful and start feeling entitled. It's mine. We don't want to share it. That's at the very core of sin, is this forgetting to be thankful for what God has given us. What was it that made Adam and Eve so temptable? What was it that made them vulnerable to sin? They forgot all the trees, all the food that God had provided for them, and focused their attention on the one thing He had withheld. What was it that drove the Israelites into sin as they followed Moses through the wilderness? They stopped being amazed by the manna from heaven. They stopped being amazed by the water from the rock. They felt entitled to that stuff, and they were grumbling and complaining and angry that they didn't get meat with it. It's hard to be thankful because our sin has made us self-obsessed. It's just so easy for us to be proud of ourselves, our stuff, our abilities, our entitlements. And Thanksgiving forces us to hit pause and to say, what do I have that I haven't been given? And if I've received it, why do I act like it's mine? We don't like Thanksgiving, but we need it. We need it. God loves us too much to let us stay selfish, self-obsessed, brats. He loves us too much for that. And so He commands us to stop and to give thanks. He commands Thanksgiving to reset us, just to prevent us from becoming self-centered and to force us to go back to being what He created us to be, His beloved children. His beloved children. Thanksgiving is important because it makes us better people. That the first value of Thanksgiving is it makes us better people. Better about what? Better, I mean, bigger hearted, more loving, more gracious, more kind, more magnanimous, more generous, more hopeful, more joyful. It makes us better people. We know that. We know implicitly in our hearts, we know that getting everything we want and never saying thank you for it, never being thankful for it, that corrupts our souls. Psalm 106 describes that actually. It's a psalm that's describing the children of Israel in the wilderness and the grumbling. And it says in verse 15, God gave them what they wanted, but He sent a wasting disease to their soul. Being spoiled is the old-fashioned term, isn't it? Being spoiled. Getting too much of what you want. It ruins us. We know that. Look at the literature, right? I grew up with Nellie Olson being the foil to Laura Ingalls. Younger children grew up with Draco Malfoy being the foil to Harry Potter. The spoiled kids, the kids that got everything they ever wanted. It corrupted their souls. It made them small. It made them shallow. It made them narcissistic. It made them obsessed with how they looked. It made them assume that they were better than others because they had more. It made them assume they were smarter than others because they were richer. And when someone goes their whole life without hearing the word no, that they have no ability to say no to themselves. They have no ability to protect themselves from the diseased sins that are all around them. They have no ability to hear no from anyone else. They can't accept it. They want to deny it. They want to cry and complain. But people who understand, who appreciate Thanksgiving, who appreciate that there's nothing out there they have that they haven't been given, and they didn't have to be given it, that makes us appreciative. And this is the thing. This is why that's important. Because you were never created to function alone. You were never created to function alone. You were created to love others and to receive love. You were created to receive God's love and to be treasured. You were never created to be alone. You were never designed to function alone. And Thanksgiving celebrates that. I want to stress this for you, because I think in our culture especially, we just glorify this kind of individual survivor, by myself, I need no one. There's even television shows that glorify that, right? There's a reality show, I love that phrase, a reality show where you go around with cameraman 8 feet away from you, and one of them is called Alone. And it's about who can survive the longest in the wilderness alone. And you know who always wins those competitions? People who were trained by other people. Nobody was born with this knowledge. Yeah, sure, if you spend a year under the tutelage of other people, then maybe you can learn how to survive alone. But that just goes to show you how unnatural it is. It's not how you were created to be. You want to know what you'd be like alone? Ezekiel gives us the vision. I think it's chapter 15. He gives us a beautiful vision of what it's like to be alone. He says, I saw you there. On the day of your birth, there was no one, no one to cut your cord, no one to wipe the blood off of you. You were left wallowing in your blood, and I saw you there alone. And you were left to die. And I threw my cloak over you, and I said to you, live. And I washed you. That's where we are alone. We're completely helpless and left to die. And Thanksgiving reminds us, it gives us this time to pause and to thank all of those people that have made us into beloved and loving family members. They've kept us from being alone. Thanksgiving makes us into loving people who appreciate the people around them, who appreciate the help that we've gotten. Thanksgiving also makes you enjoy your gift more. Like I said, when you stop and enjoy the food, when you pause, you take the time to remember and you see how good the food tastes. You remember how good your job is. You remember how bad it was to not have work. You remember how valuable your wife is and how awful it felt to be lonely. You remember how valuable your parents are and all the things that they taught you and sacrificed for. You even begin to thank God for things like your illnesses. One goofy movie I remember watching with my kids years ago. I remember the details because how I am, right? I'd taken them to get shots and they screamed at me for getting shots, and I rewarded them with ice cream and I took them to see Spy Kids 2. Terrible movie. It's fine. It's probably fine. But what I remember about Spy Kids 2 is it was all about Granddad. Granddad couldn't walk. And at the end of the movie, he is forgiving the person who took away his ability to walk. And he said, I want to thank you. And I'm not going to give you all the words of this cheesy speech, but basically he said this: by taking away my ability to walk, you taught me what it was like to depend upon other people. And by depending upon other people, I learned for the first time how truly loved I am. I would never have known how loved I was if I hadn't have been made to depend upon other people. Isn't that fascinating? He's being thankful for his injuries, thankful for his infirmities. Because in those infirmities, he realized how loved he was. Thanksgiving, it makes us enjoy the people around us more. It makes us enjoy the gifts that God has given us more. And it makes us appreciate the giver more. It makes us appreciate the giver more. And that's important. It's so important to do that. A friend of mine's a pastor in another state, and he was getting ready to do a fundraiser, you know, capital campaign. And we've done that, and he knew I'd done that, so he called me up. He's like, do you have any advice? Because I don't want to do this. Believe it or not, preachers, that's our least favorite thing to do. This is our favorite thing to do. Raising money is our least favorite thing to do. And he said, I don't want to do it. Do you have any advice for me? And I said, yeah. I said, stop to really appreciate the fact that these people are giving you their money. Just pause and think about that for a second. And when you think about all the things they could be doing with that money instead, they could be getting nicer homes or going on vacations or getting nicer cars, but they're giving your church their money. And when you think about that, you'll appreciate them more. What I want to challenge you to do today is to think about how great it is that God gave us the gifts He gave us. And what do I mean by that? Think about all the things He's done that He didn't have to do. You're eating those leftovers for the fourth day in a row. Think about how amazing it is that God gave you taste. He didn't have to give you the ability to taste. He didn't have to make chocolate taste so good. He didn't have to make tart cranberries taste so tart and sweet potatoes taste so sweet. He didn't have to do that. Think about how amazing it is that God gave us the ability to smell. He didn't have to make burning leaves smell so awesome. He didn't have to make Christmas trees smell so beautiful. Think about how great it is that God gave us sunsets. He didn't have to make them beautiful. Think about how wonderful it is that He made love feel so good. And when you stop to pause about all those things and to appreciate that God intentionally made things feel, look, smell, and taste good just for your pleasure. When you stop to think about that, you begin to realize it is just amazing that we have a God like that. And you go from taking things for granted to realizing that He loves us. And you never have more dignity than when you realize that this food, this person, this husband, this job, this home, whatever it is, that this is a gift from the Lord of the universe who loves me. And as you let that knowledge sink in on you, you'll never have more dignity than that. Do you see how it makes you a better person? It resets you to being the beloved children of God that He's created you to be. That's why God wants you to be thankful, because it's making you into His image. By making you thankful, He's giving you your dignity. So how does He do it? Just briefly, let's jump into this. I don't know why briefly. You don't have anything else to do. I'm saving you all the time from running that you would spend driving home. So be patient with me. Three things about how to give thanks. First, we've already said a few times, but I want to just remind it again. Pause. Pause and come together. God commanded that in Leviticus. And in all these Psalms, whenever you see, serve the Lord with gladness, make a joyful noise before the Lord, enter His gates with thanksgiving. Those are actually commands from the Lord. It's not just good ideas. Come together. Gather together and worship and remind each other of the things that He's done for us. Secondly, name the gifts. Receive them as gifts from the Lord of the universe who loved you so much. Receive this day in front of the fireplace, this day watching football. Receive this rainy weather when you're not going to want to go out. Receive this meal. Receive this person, not as receive this husband, not as this man who smells bad in the morning and drives me crazy half the time, but as a gift from the Lord of the universe who loves me so much. He gave me His own Son and who gives good gifts to His children. Pause, name the gifts, notice them. And finally, the final way that we give thanks is we enjoy the gifts. Enjoy them. Eat the food. That's beautiful. I want you to notice this, because I'll bet you haven't been thinking about this. In Leviticus, again, when God is commanding people to give Thanksgiving celebrations, make the sacrifices of Thanksgiving, they would bring a lamb or a young bull, sacrifice of grain. But this is how they would do it. They would bring it to the priest and they would roast it. They would barbecue it. And then the command was very specific. You have to eat all of it before morning. Eat it all. You're not going to save it in a doggy box. You're not going to take it home for tomorrow. You're not going to worry about eating too much. You're going to feast. You're going to eat it all. Everything that's not eaten will be thrown away. What's he saying? He's saying, you're not giving it away. You're celebrating. What did he want you to do? Come and eat it at the temple before him. He wants to watch you enjoy your gifts. Just like any parent. Why we love Christmas so much as parents. We love giving gifts to our children so that we can see their faces light up. We love to see our children happy. Why are we like that? Because God is like that. He wants to watch you enjoy your gifts. It makes Him delighted. It makes Him happy to see you happy. It makes Him happy to see you enjoy. That's why we feast on Thanksgiving. We don't fast. Because it makes God happy to see you enjoy the gifts He's given you. Isn't it amazing that we have a God like that? Isn't it amazing that we have a God who takes His greatest joy in seeing us joyful? That's what eternity is about. That's what this entire creation, redemption, salvation, love story is all about. That God wants to spend all of eternity looking into your joyful face. That's why He gave His own Son to die on the cross for you, so that He could spend all eternity looking into your joyful face as you look at Him and go, "There's no way you love me this much." And every Thanksgiving, we get to celebrate just a glimpse of that. Now, I want you to do that today. Let's celebrate that we have a God like that. Please pray with me. Father, with every breath, with every bite, with every verse of music that brings us joy, with every hug, with every kiss, over and over again, Lord, we are reminded how amazing it is that we have a God like You. And Father, I pray that our singing and our celebrating and our eating and our resting would all be set to the music of, "Isn't it amazing we have a God like that?" Amen. All right, we're going to sing our